Holy God, keep us steadfast in the unity of three persons, that we may forever continue in your service. O Father, the Creator, O Son, the Redeemer, and O Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, please. You may have noticed when I walked over here and picked up this thick stack of papers that Michael started to shudder, because I know how much he loves to preach from the aisle and without any papers. The good news is I'm going to set this down for the time being, but I needed it for that prayer at least to get started. This is Trinity Sunday, and it's one when we, as deacons, are often asked to preach, because the priests have decided that since the theologians over a long period of time have not come up with a good explanation that we can all understand, what is this whole Trinity thing about? Why should they try and preach? Let the deacon do it, after all. So it's my Sunday, and it's also my Sunday, and I don't want to forget to acknowledge the service of so many men and women who have been first responders, who have served our country, and whom we remember this weekend as part of our families, as part of who we are as not only a nation, but as a global people, the children of God. So as we continue through the weekend, I hope you'll all take a few minutes here and there to think of those who have lost their life in service to the country or in service to those of us. And I would go so far as to include someone like my wife, who fortunately is still with us, but those who are nursing, those who have provided care, they are in service. And part of what we're going to hopefully see is, what is the service element in the Trinity? What are we called to by the God of our understanding, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask you to view this today more or less in what I learned to call theological reflection, which says, let's take the scripture we read this morning, which I'm not going to repeat purposely, but hold on to it because you may, if you're confused afterward, want to go back and refer to it. But for a moment, join me in sort of updating the whole thing to, what is the message for us today that's contained in the concept of the Holy Trinity on this Trinity Sunday? So, I start that by asking that for the moment, you set aside that visual image that you have of God the Father. I'm not asking you to abandon God. Just for the moment, set that image aside. Because in my reflection, I am going to reflect on the Father, God, more as the Creator, the Builder, but also the Caregiver, the Nurturer, as evidenced in much of the Old Testament. Those are roles that God fulfilled for mankind. As we do that, I bring into my sense the relationship with God as a parent, not necessarily as a father, but recognizing God's role as also mother. So if I will, and this is not a political statement by any means, it's just let us form this around the sense of family, the sense of looking at God as the parents. That God, our parents, the parents, loved the people so much and his creatures that God sent, those parents sent their son to be human-like, to be a vision, something that we could hold on to, not as a punishing God, not as a punishing divine figure, but sent us a prophet, a son, someone who could be a teacher, a leader, an interpreter, someone empowered to heal, to give comfort and hope. Thus, the family is now expanded to be three entities, if you will, being careful not to tread on that difficult gender environment that we have. So let's then, as we enter that image of family, introduce that final element. When it comes time for the parents and their son to sacrifice that one human teacher, that one presence that we all want to hold on to, they, all three of them, offered Jesus up to bring salvation, to offer us an insight into what true forgiveness is all about. The final expression of love that all three of them have for their people is the willingness to sacrifice Christ on the cross, to act as our ultimate redeemer. Imagine the apostles and disciples at the time of this crucifixion, how they must have felt, that empty feeling. There's nothing left. Where are we to turn but to the memories that they had, only to have that final actual touch of the love of Christ and the parents for their people, of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we acknowledged that event in history, and as you know from years of study, or just being listening to the lessons, that sense of the Spirit comes with all sorts of visions and images, not of the Spirit itself, but of the introduction of that Spirit. And if, just a recall, there's tongues of fire, there's wind, there's water, there's the dove, to speak of a few. This is the introduction that the parents and the son have given us into the ongoing presence of Christ. We turn to that Spirit, that sense that Christ is still with us, though we know by, again, worship and the Scripture, that Christ physically is gone, but there is a presence that is represented by that Spirit. That is the Spirit that invites us to pray in times of chaos, to pray in times of healing and frustration, and pain and frustration, when we need healing. It is the same Spirit that sends individuals into our life with loving and caring messages of hope, of reminders of the presence of Christ in our lives. And it's the same Spirit that suddenly comes into our life, unannounced. And for me in particular, I like to refer to those situations as rearview mirror experiences, where I suddenly realize after the fact that there is no explanation other than the presence of that Spirit for what has just occurred. I'm going to go out on a limb, because I was taught when I was going through my academic preparation for, among other things, doing theological reflections, is to relate a personal experience. I emphasize the word personal because I wouldn't expect anyone else here to experience the same thing that I did, but I think it may be important for you to hear, or I think it's important for you to hear, one particular spiritual experience. I was in a hospital room, and had just met with a doctor who had done some rather important surgery. I'd had a ruptured appendix. I was 60 plus years old, and that ruptured appendix went undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. In fact, the surgeon emphasized I was very, very fortunate to be alive. But that wasn't the spiritual moment. When the physician left my bedside and left me alone in the room to ponder what she had just told me, I went into a period of, I call it depression, it's probably more deflation than anything else, because she told me that in order for the healing to go on from the complications, I was going to have to be on a PIC line, like an IV, for 6 weeks or more with nothing by mouth. They were shutting down my entire digestive system, if you will. So not even water. Now, I'm not a small person. And the final rewards I have in life, other than my spiritual journey, are food. How else can I reward myself? I quit smoking, I quit drinking, all those other things. In any case, I was alone, I was in this room, and I just felt like the wind had been knocked out of my sails, and even worse. I was probably moments from tears. I can tell you this, that suddenly, the room filled with light. The practical explanation to that is that the sun reflected off the building across the street from the hospital, which had reflective glass on it, and it filled my room with sunlight. For me, the personal element of a spiritual experience is that, that moment awakened the spirit in me and reminded me that God was there with me, Christ right beside me, and the Spirit was just shaking me to say, wake up, David, pray prayers of gratitude, and go forward. So my hope and dream is that all of you have experienced some events such as this. I suspect we have. We may not always have identified it as being that which came from the Holy Spirit. But in trying to explain that, if you say it was a coincidence, as a believer, I think we probably have to admit to some of those being God incidences. Christ and the Holy Spirit present with the parents. The final outcome of that situation for me, and I hope for others, in my diaconal role today, I realize God at that moment was once again calling me into service. God wasn't ready to invite me back home or to those mansions in heaven. God had more work for me to do. And in fact, it was after that that I entered the diaconate or the formation to become a deacon. So I invite you all today, as you sort of take some reflection yourselves on the whole concept of the Trinity, not to try to draw pictures of it, not to try to have an image, or to try and explain the age-old three in one, but look at it as family. As children of God, we're all part of that family. We are all part of that family. It's reflected in much of Scripture, and as I said, I'm not going to reread Scripture, but Nicodemus got an insight from Jesus today in the Gospel. John, in the Epistle, one of the most firm believers in the holy Messiah, Jesus, reminds us that we are children of God. We are all, upon our baptism and confirmation, invited into the Holy Trinity to be part of and feel the presence of the Spirit in our faith following Christ. A closing prayer from St. Francis. Sorry, Michael. Almighty, eternal, just, and merciful God, grant us in our wretchedness the grace to do for you alone what we know you want us to do, and always to desire what pleases you. Thus, inwardly cleansed, enlightened, and inflamed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, may we be able to follow in the footsteps of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And by your grace alone, may we make our way to you, Most High, who live and rule in perfect Trinity and simple unity forever and ever. Amen.